Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And now we get to the passage that we'll be dealing with. See to it, or oversee, that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that we have this, your word, to guide us. And we thank you that we have fellow believers from whom we get encouragement, to whom we give encouragement. We thank you that you've given the whole church the responsibility to look at each other, to see whether we're struggling to stay on the path, whether we're doing the things that will help us to heal those things that are broken. Lord, help us to do that. Do it humbly and do it in your grace. As we look at this passage today, the second part of verse 15 here, enable us to see how your grace needs to apply to every aspect of our lives. How we need to recognize any root of bitterness that we have and root it out. Clean it out so that we can live for you, so that we can have peace with our brothers. We pray that you'll bless us now as we look at this, your word. Be with my words. Help them to be true to yours, and may your people be blessed this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the first thing that the writer of Hebrews tells us we need to do is to see to it that no one fails or falls short, same idea there, that no one falls short of the grace of God. And that's what we talked about last week. And we talked about the grace of God in salvation, recognizing the grace of God as he's made his plan of redemption, he's worked out his plan of redemption until the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who came from heaven and came to earth, humbled himself, and became a man, lived a completely righteous life, something we could never do, and then died for our sins, to pay the penalty of our sins, to pay the debt that we could never pay. He died for us. Not only that, but he gave us the gift of his righteousness, so that we can come into God's presence and stand there and have communion with our God for the rest of eternity. Not based on what we've done, but based on our trust in what Jesus has done. So we see the grace of God in salvation. We see the grace of God worked out in our lives. Realizing that every aspect of our lives should be touched by the grace of God. And then as we see the grace that God has given us, we share that grace with those around us. We live our lives in that grace. And we bring it to others. We bring it to ourselves too. We don't beat ourselves up for the things that we've done wrong. We put our trust in Jesus, who has paid the penalty for our sin and now allows us, gives us freedom to walk in his grace. The grace of God in our lives. Now we come in the second part of verse 15 to one of the primary ways that we fall short of grace. See to it that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Has anyone gone to the cupboard not really knowing what they were doing, and found this chocolate. It says chocolate on it. And they're nice little bars of brown stuff that looks like chocolate. And you break off a thing and you're expecting this wonderful sensation. Now, I don't know about you, but if it's candy, it better be chocolate. I like chocolate. But anyway, you break off this piece of chocolate. Oh, you're just waiting for it. You pop it in your mouth and Have you ever tasted baker's chocolate? No sugar? It's just a mite bitter. And you know, it's not really satisfying. Now, that bitter root, as Deuteronomy pointed out, could also be poison. Poison! Now, that chocolate's not poison. You don't eat much of it because of the taste, but it's not poison. But this word can mean that it's poison. You know, and sometimes we don't recognize it. I was cutting wood. We burned wood for our heat, and I was cutting wood in the wintertime. And there was a stand of trees, perfect stand of trees. It needed to be thinned out, and they were just the right size. They weren't huge trees, they were just the right size. So if you cut them and then chopped them up, they would go right into the fire, or you just one chop of the axe, and it's a perfect size. So I spent a whole day out there sawing down these trees, gathering together, piling them up on the trailer. Everything was grand. Now, of course, it was wintertime. So I'm covered, I've got a hat on, I've got gloves on, I've got a winter coat on, I've got pants on, everything in my body was covered, except my face. And what I didn't realize, these trees had these little, you know, just dead plants growing up along the sidewalk. And there weren't any leaves or anything, so I didn't think anything of these things that were growing up there. And as I took the chainsaw to them, of course, if you ever used a chainsaw, things sort of fly around, you know, and sort of go into the air. Well, as I was sawing down these trees, I was also sawing through these little stringy things that, you know, didn't appear to be much until I realized they were poison ivy or poison oak. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, after that night, I started getting blotches on my face, these red blotches. I thought, oh no, that's not good. I woke up the next morning, and I could not open my eyes. My face was so swollen. There's this guy that has this big head and swollen things, and you know, you look at him, and there's a whole story about, I can't remember his name. But anyway, I look like this monster. But, you know, I couldn't actually see myself until after I went to the ER and got some pretty strong antihistamine to allow my eyes to open up. But it was weeks then, as my skin is healing on my face, that I looked like this monster. And walk into a grocery store and people look at you. But anyway, I didn't realize that was there. But I saw the effect of it. And often that's the case with bitterness. You don't even realize it's there until you start seeing its effect upon your life and upon your relationships. Sometimes it's clear. Sometimes it's hard to see until you see the devastation that it brings. It's a poison, that bitterness is. That bitter root can spring up and cause trouble when we least expect it. I've been told, now Ellen can correct me on this, but when you're weeding a garden, Ellen, is it okay just to sort of chop off the tops of the weeds? Is that a good thing? It doesn't last long, right. Unless you dig down and get it by the roots and get it out of there, it's going to be back before very long. Now, I don't garden, but I know that Ellen does, and you can believe her. So anyway, you've got to get it out by the roots. You've got to make sure it's cleaned out. You don't just cover it up. Say, oh, that doesn't matter. That's okay. And then still have that festering of the bitterness inside of you. You've got to get it out by the root. How do we do that? Going back to the first part of the verse. Don't fall short of the grace of God. See his grace poured out on you. See that he has made the way for you to come to him for all eternity. See that he has forgiven you of all your sins, past, present, and future. If you're truly trusting in him, and there's something about that. It has to be a true faith. A true faith. How do you know it's a true faith? Well, one thing is, you'll deal with that root of bitterness. You'll get rid of it completely. You'll deal with it so that it doesn't spring up and cause trouble. How do we get rid of the bitter root? We do it with grace. But do we really need to? Come on. Don't you like a little bitterness? You know that chocolate? You just add a little sugar to it and it tastes pretty good. I drink coffee in the morning. I drink it black. Is it bitter? Well, it can be, okay? So maybe we like a little bitterness in our lives. Well, bitter tastes are okay. Bitterness in your heart is not okay. You definitely need to get rid of it. Unfortunately, many people like a little bitterness, but it's a poison. Going back to Deuteronomy 29, beware, lest there be among you a man or a woman, or woman or clan or tribe, whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Falling short of the grace of God, not recognizing the grace that God is pouring out on them. It is inconceivable almost that God would show himself in the miracles that had to happen in order for the Israelites to leave Egypt as slaves, to be brought through the Red Sea, to be brought up to Mount Sinai, to be taken into the promised land. And yet, they still went away. They still looked to other gods. It's amazing. They fell short of the grace of God. They didn't. That generation did not enter the promised land. Now that's a pretty good picture as we look at life. What has Jesus done? Well, if we're truly trusting in him, he has rescued us. He's saved us from slavery to sin. He's taking us and he's bringing us now in that journey where we will one day cross that river into the promised land where we'll be with God forever and ever. That's a picture that God has painted for us of our salvation. Don't fall short of the grace of God. Truly trust in what Jesus has done. Now, if you are a true believer, are you going to fall short? No. Christ will take you through. But the question is it a true faith? Are you truly trusting in what God has done for you through Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? So these people that Deuteronomy is talking about fell short of the grace of God. Beware, he goes on. Moses goes on there. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit, one who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. Though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. The Lord will not be willing to forgive him. While this one has fallen short of the grace of God, he shows his lack of faith by that stubbornness in his heart, that hard heart that will not look to God and the grace that he provides and show that grace to others. He shows his lack of faith in what God has done, his refusal to trust in that God who provides the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He holds on to bitterness in the stubbornness of his heart. He holds on to bitterness. Well, that's the Old Testament. So, obviously, you know, in the New Testament, God never says, you know, if you hold on to the stubbornness of your heart, if you have that bitterness in you, then you're not going to be going to heaven. No. God loves us. Everyone goes. No, everyone doesn't go to heaven. It's only those with a true faith that will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, with our God. It's only those with a true faith. Look back at Matthew 6. We dealt with this probably a couple years ago, maybe. Matthew 6, verses 7 to 15. I just got this Bible. You never notice how new Bibles, it tends to take longer to get to where you want to go. But the text is a little bigger. And for some reason, that helps. Anyway, Matthew chapter 6, I'll be reading verses 7 to 15. Familiar passage. Very familiar passage. In fact, probably most of you haven't memorized most of it. But there's a real warning here. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Is God's forgiveness of us based on whether or not we forgive? No. It's based on our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if it's a true faith, what is the result? If it's a true faith, our hearts are changed. We recognize the grace with which we've been dealt. We aren't getting what we deserve, which is death. We've sinned. Everyone's fallen short of the grace of God. We deserve death. We aren't getting what we deserved. If we recognize the grace of God, then we need to show that grace to others. If we're not forgiving others, we are demonstrating that our faith is not true, that we aren't trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we are, then we see his grace poured out on us, and that should make us more than willing to show that grace to others. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do you have a true faith? One of the signs of a true faith is that you have a heart that forgives, that shows grace. So what are the consequences of holding on to bitterness? Just saying, oh, I really sort of like that bitter root there. You know, it tastes pretty good sometimes. Well, those who fail to deal with bitterness, to take it out by its roots, are indicating that they have failed to see God's grace, that they have never trusted in the bountiful grace of God. A true believer must uproot the bitterness in their heart. It's not a question, should I or shouldn't I? If you see that bitterness in your heart and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you need to recognize the grace with which you have been dealt and then show that grace to others and uproot that bitterness that is in your heart. Is it easy? No. Ask anyone who actually weeds a garden. Is it easy to get at those roots? No, it's hard. It takes work. It takes effort. And that's the same with the bitterness in our hearts. We need to work at it. We need to make sure that we're doing what we need to get rid of it. Is it obvious? No, sometimes we don't see it until we see its effect. Going back to the trees that I was cutting down, I didn't know that there was poison there until I saw its effect. And often that's the way it is with bitterness. We don't recognize it until we see what it's doing to ourselves and doing to others. But then we better recognize it. Can we do it on our own? Well, no. First of all, we need God. We need God's grace. We need to see his grace poured out on us in order to deal with that bitterness so that we can know how to show that grace to others. We need to see that grace. Not only that, we need his people. Why does the writer of Hebrews say, oversee? He's talking to the entire church. See to it. Look around you. Do you see someone that's bound up in their bitterness? Do you see someone who just can't escape something that where they feel wronged? Something where they're jealous? Something where they're resentful? Do you see someone who's not dealing with their sin? We need to look at that. We need to help them to uproot that bitterness. We're called to do that, to oversee lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest anyone have that root of bitterness springing up that can cause trouble and by it many be defiled. God's calling us to do that. Now, when does the root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble? You ever dealt with middle school girls? They can be the best of friends. And then something happens where one gets jealous of another, or one thinks that someone else is spending too much time with another one. Whatever the case may be, and all of a sudden, the claws come out. The root of bitterness that destroys relationships. Now with middle school girls, usually they'll get through that time and then become friends again. But you wonder, why do they have to go through that so many times? But anyway, I know a young man. You know that root of bitterness, it springs up. So they, as he's dealing with things around him, he starts to put down himself and say, I can't do this. I'm a bad person. And he takes it inward. That's the way some people show that bitterness. It needs to get uprooted so that they can see the grace of God. Oh, let's not leave out the adults. It springs up all over, doesn't it? Whether it's anger, hurt, resentment, feelings of unjust treatment, bitterness, if it's allowed to sit there, festers and grows, and it springs up and causes trouble. It could be bitterness toward others. It could be bitterness toward God. Do you know anyone who something's happened in their life and they just became bitter at God and they then refuse to see the grace that God has in store, that God can pour out on them? Bitterness needs to get uprooted. Bitterness needs to be dealt with. And going back to one of the words that Moses uses. Now, he talks about this person who has this root of bitterness and they sort of like it. And they say, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. That's not a good thing. But let's look at safe. Okay, just the word safe. S-A-F-E. Had to use something to bring this together. Anyway, safe. Dealing with bitterness. First, see it. The S of safe. See it. See the bitterness. Whether it's seeing the actual bitterness there or seeing the result in your relationships or the result of having that bitterness in your heart and how it is tearing you apart. See it. Secondly, admit it. Yeah, I'm bitter. Yeah, I can't forgive this person. Yeah, I'm having trouble dealing with this. He hurt me. She hurt me. And I can't do it. Admit it. So see it, admit it, forgive. Apply grace. Oh, forgiveness and grace are so tied up with one another. Unless we see the grace of God to us, unless we see his forgiveness of us poured out on, he is forgiven so much. Unless we see that, we're going to have trouble forgiving those around us. Apply grace. And how do you apply grace? You forgive. So see it, admit it, forgive, and empathize. Had to come up with an E, but it fit, okay? Empathize. Empathize. Look at what's best for the other person. Look at maybe why they're dealing in the way that they are. I know sometimes Madison will come in and she's screeching and she's doing all sorts of things and she's mean and she's putting down her brother and KJ and everything else and she is just out of control. And if I yell at her and tell her sit down and shut up or something like that, I don't usually say those words, but if I get angry with her, it just makes things worse. Why is she dealing with it like that? Well, sometimes she's had a bad day. Sometimes she just doesn't feel that anyone cares about her. Sometimes she just wants to be a jerk. But anyway, the fact is that often what helps is taking her and sitting her down and talking about the things that are bothering her. And I think a lot of people are like that. That sometimes it's a matter of forgiving first and then looking at what's best for the other person. What do they need? It could be talking to them and helping them to come around to see what's in their heart. It could be helping them to see the truth of the gospel. It could be helping them to recognize a sin. Will it always work to have them settle down and see the grace with which you are dealing with them? No, it won't always work. But it's what God calls us to do because that's what he does with us. For some people, it's going to take more. If we're dealing with someone in the church that's involved in sin, we may have to take it further on. We go to them in person. We take someone else and talk to them. And if they're still not listening and they're still involved in sin, then we take it to the church. But it's not a matter of getting revenge or giving them what they deserve. It's seeing their need. It's seeing what will help them in the long run. It's seeing where they're headed. So you want to deal with the root of bitterness and get it out of there? See it. Admit it. Forgive, apply grace, and empathize. Look at what is best for the other person. Truly forgive, truly deal with that other person. Making sure that there is no bitterness as you're dealing, as you're talking with them. Get rid of the root. See it, admit it, forgive, and empathize. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we do pray that you'll help us to just get rid of any bitterness that's in our heart, to tear it up by the roots, to apply grace. Lord, the situation can change. You add sugar to chocolate, and boy, it makes a difference. You add grace to whatever problem you're facing, it makes a difference. Oh Lord, help us to root out any bitterness that we have, to deal with it rightly, and then to live in the grace that you've shown to us.